Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I saw him play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Welcome to the NFL Black and Gold NFL Recap. My name is Matt Searles. I'm joined, as always, by Fred and Stabo. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Matt. I'm watching the, right now, Thursday Night Football Clash of the Titans in Color Rush uniforms. Blaine Gabbert leads the Niners and Drew Stanton leading the Cardinals. Not exactly Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, but I think if either team manages to score points, we'll call it a win. What about you, Savo?
I'm watching the Weather Channel. There's some hurricane on it named Matthew. Hurricane Matthew. I don't know who it's named after. Do we got anyone that we know named Matt or Matt like that? But I'm going to try to be serious today. I'm not going to joke around. I'm sorry.
Well, no, we joke around is your signature, man. We've got to have it. But for any new listeners here to the Black and Gold NFL Recap, the newest podcast from behind the steel curtain, what we do here is we will catch you all up to date on any news going around the NFL. We'll recap last week's games. We'll look forward to the games coming up this week, of course, and talk some Pittsburgh. Before we get going, we've actually already got a caller on the line before we start talking about last week's games. Caller, you are on air. You're calling in early, bud. 732-780. What you want to talk about?
Good evening, gentlemen. Vito Manco in New Jersey. How are you?
Doing great, Vito.
Vito, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well. My big concern this weekend is the offensive line of the Steelers with the right tackle. It seems like that is one of the big deals, shuffling people around, and I guess that has me a little nervous about what's going to happen up front there. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely agree with you. It looks like if Harris is out and Gilbert is out, it looks like Hubbard is going to make his first start at tackle with Pouncey backing him up. Definitely want those around the room. Friend Sable, what are your thoughts on this? The Jets don't have any real outside threats, any big ones. Their main pass rushers are, you know, those big defensive tackles on the inside, but that definitely could still be a problem. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, no, Vito, good point. I think for most people, if you were, you know, looking for what we'd be concerned about, the only bad news coming out of the last Sunday night's win was, of course, the injuries. And out of the ones we had, that would be the one that concerns me the most because, like you said, not only Gilbert going down, but Ryan Harris, who I think he's okay, but at least he's been in the league a long time. Having to rely on Chris Hubbard definitely has me nervous, even though, as Matt said, you know, the Jets don't really have an edge rusher, if you will. They don't have a Von Miller-type guy, but they certainly have enough with, you know, Leonard Williams and Muhammad Wilkerson and even to that
McClendon.
Steve McClendon in front. That would be my biggest concern is can we protect Ben? Because, you know, the Jets, they had 7 sacks the first week, and I think they're up to about 12 on the year. And besides that, they are only giving up like 3.1 yards per carry. So they're one of the tougher teams to run on. So even though their secondary has been not good, and Revis, we don't even know if he's going to play, and he hasn't looked good. That'd be my number one concern. That being said, the rest of the line, and Foster's supposed to be back. He's been practicing. He said he's going to be back. It's only one spot. That's my biggest concern, but I don't think that matchup itself would be what would bring us down. I think just if it's just that, we have enough on the other pieces and everybody else is in place, it wouldn't. But that is my number one. What do you guys say, Paul?
I think the key to the game is Steve McClendon. For some reason, I think he's going to go off on this game, and that's what I'm afraid of. Our offensive line, it's going to be Hubbard the first time he started. I know in college he played a little bit of tackle, but Hubbard out there with Wilkerson, and I think that's going to be – I think, Ben, we're going to have to light it up and outscore them. I don't think Revis is going to play. Did you hear anything more about that, Vito, Revis playing?
He didn't practice today, so unless
yeah,
he
so I don't think
tomorrow.
He's going to play.
Now,
but the matchup, I just don't like Hubbard against the pass rushers. They, their front is one of the best fronts and everything. I'm really scared of Hubbard being out there on an island. They're probably going to have to chip Jesse James, not that great. The tight end's going to go out, have to chip, or maybe even D'Angelo Williams. They're going to have to give him some help and everything because that defensive line just, I think, is a little bit too good. I mean, I'd feel a lot better, you know, if Gilbert was there, but Hubbard out there scares me a little bit.
Sable, what do you think?
I think
Oh, go ahead, Matt.
Good. Okay. I was saying I think the way to, you know, sort of cover up that, you know, fly at right tackle is, you know, probably going to be what they're going to do anyways or what they were going to do anyways is because, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs really set up the blueprint on how to beat these guys. I mean, they definitely destroyed the Jets. You know, lots of those quick passes, getting the ball out early, which, of course, you know, with Ben, you can also use that to set up that deep pass to Coates and everything that Alex Smith can't really do as well. But I think that, I mean, if you get that ball out quick, it doesn't matter really who's out there. They're not going to be able to get that kind of pressure. It is a worry, but I'm not overly concerned because this Jet secondary can't stick with our receivers.
No, they can't. Like you said, getting the ball quick, but also I'll tell you what, if you can get the protection, take your shots. You know, the first game, the Bengals, A.J. Green burned him on a deep one. Even the Bills game, Tyrod Taylor hit him on a deep one early. Like you said, so in both of the long passes – a couple of long passes last week, though. Antonio Brown's touchdown catch, the 38-yarder, and then one that he hit down the seam to Grimble. I was watching, went back and rewatched the game. The Steelers max protected. They were both two receiver routes, so they had like seven guys in the block. So if they do that a lot of times, so they're two receiver routes. If the guy's not open, you throw it away and you make sure you have enough guys back to protect Ben. So I think you could take your shots if you do that. And like you said, you know, the Jets secondary has not been good. And even if Revis, great, one of the best ever at this point in his career, I would say if he's watching it and, you know, covering Antonio Brown, I would say Antonio, wear your hula skirt because you're going to dance all over Revis Island. But
Vito, I think another thing we got to think about if you're going to try to beat their defense is the quick passes. 1-2-3, get the ball out fast. That's going to negate a little bit of the defensive line pressure and that Harris coming up the middle too and everything like that. What do you think about the game? Vito, you still there? Or?
I am there. I think, you know, I just hope it's not a letdown. I hope these guys come to play. I hope they don't take it lightly. And I hope they focus and do what they need to do.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
I think the Eagles game was a wake-up for them. I don't think we're going to see any more of those big blowouts, the team not really getting off the bus. Vito, I want to thank you for your call, man. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we let you go?
No, I'm just recapping the game that happened a few years ago. If you remember when they went into MetLife Stadium and Michael Vick was the quarterback and they lost, and there was two games back-to-back where Ben threw six touchdowns, and then he was really ice cold when he went to play them. You guys remember that game?
Yeah. Oh, I remember it. Thanks for reminding me, Vito.
And they had Martavis Bryant that day, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's different.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Now, so.
That was a trap game if there ever was one. Definitely tough memories there. But
we hope
Vito for calling in.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks
for
calling
in. Vito.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you.
Thanks, Vito.
And we actually have another call in line, back-to-back callers. We're going to get you in before we start moving on. 347-406-7201. I think I know who this is, but I'm not positive. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, folks? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Oh,
that's who
man.
I thought it was. What's up, Bryce?
Hey, Bryce.
Man, what's going on? Hey, man, how you guys feeling tonight?
I'm
doing
fantastic.
Well.
I tell
doing
you
well,
what,
man.
It's a lot better week this week than it was after the Eagles game. That's for sure.
Yeah, tell me about it. That was definitely an annihilation, not just on the field. We got completely outcoached as well. It was really bad.
I agree. I was ready to jump off the bridge, which is real close to me and everything. You know what it felt like to me? The Denver game when Tebow beat us, the two Super Bowl losses, that San Diego loss when we thought we were going to Super Bowl. It was like it was the end of the season for me because I didn't believe that this Carson Wentz was that good. And all of a sudden, I become a believer in him. I think their team's a lot better than I thought they were. I just couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to do. I said,
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. I think it ties into this week. I mean, well, last week against the Chiefs. And this weekend moving forward, you know. I mean, this isn't – I think the Steelers have done a lot to remake their secondary. They got to trust these guys, man. They got to call the game like they trust their corners. And against the Eagles, they called these soft zones, and the defense didn't do anything, you know. They couldn't rush. They didn't do anything because they didn't reroute receivers. The guy doesn't complete. He completes four passes over 15 yards. That's it. Dink and dunks. You come up, you're missing tackles. You got to trust that your corners are athletes that are going to finally in Pittsburgh be guys that can pattern read and man-to-man coverage and get guys off the field. You look at Artie Burns last week. You know, sink or swim, man. You got to put that guy in man-to-man coverage and say, be an athlete. You got to put Ross Cockrell in coverage against people. He's got some nice size, some good speed. And say, be an athlete. Let's reroute these guys. You can't let NFL receivers get anywhere they want. You do that this week, you're going to let Fitzpatrick get into a groove because Brandon Marshall is Brandon Marshall. He's a really good player. Anunn was a good player. So, you know, fight these guys, you know. Don't just sit back in zone and let them get anywhere they want to.
Well, good point. I think what I like about what they did with the Steelers did last week, Butler and Tomlin, because I like both of them. They're both really good coaches. But Tomlin, sometimes it seems like, just looking around, say he can be as stubborn as they come. And I know that he wants to play that defense more, not always, but more of a cover two, like you said, like they played the first few weeks. Sit back, let's get pressure with four, but it wasn't working. So I was hoping that, hey, you know what, this isn't working, we got to change. And they did. They blitzed like crazy against the Chiefs. All different disguises, all different, and the way the Steelers are, of course, most of the time it's a zone blitz. So you're not blitzing, leaving a guy out, you know, so we get burned deep. And I also, like, this is the first time I can remember doing this, at least under Tomlin. If you saw what they did with Justin Gilbert, he played about eight or nine snaps, and every time they played him, it was usually in third down, and they brought him out, and they just put him man-to-man, press on the tight end, Kelce.
Right.
And they said, you just take him, and you jam him, disrupt him. And the other people were playing zone. So I thought that was a unique way, and it worked. Kelce didn't do anything. He had the garbage time touchdown. And so I liked the fact that they said, okay, you know what? What we were trying isn't working, and I thought they did it. Like you said, they got out coached in the Eagles game, and they did a great job of putting together a plan, and the players executed it. You know, so no,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It was my fault. You have something to say, Bright? Then I'll.
No, I was just going to say what you just said about just rushing four. I mean, yeah, you can't be stubborn with that. Look, that's an ideal situation, and maybe in years past, Pittsburgh could just rush four consistently and get there with the talent. But look, right now they just don't have the pass rush to do that. So what you have in the front seven is experience. Vince Williams has been here since 2013, so you're not losing experience if Shazier can't play. You got a guy that can come downhill like Vince. You got to mix it up and go after people. You got to blitz. Even if you only rush four with the blitz, you got to disguise it. You got to let your experience play. Then you got to play to the strength. I mean, you got some speed in the secondary. Robert Golden, Dangerfield in the box will hit people. You got to use these guys. Look, sink or swim on defense. You got to come after people. That needs to be their identity. It was last year. Maybe if Dupree comes back and he's rolling and they can rush four and he's getting a lot of rush, then you can play more zone behind it. I like mixing in zone, but you can't just stay in it. You got to come after people.
I was real happy with the way Artie Burns played. He played on the outside. He's learning by fire. But the more I see of Sean Davis, I think this might be a redshirt year for him because Artie Burns is an athlete. And like you said, he's playing man and everyone else is playing zone. I hope I don't get a laugh by this, but Jordan Dangerfield has my respect now.
You did get a laugh. But no, okay. You do. I was nervous. I was nervous. Like you talk about playing Hubbard, I was nervous about playing Dangerfield just for the fact he hasn't started. He hasn't played on defense before, you know, even though he's been on a practice squad. So I was a little nervous. And he did great. I didn't see him make any mistakes in coverage, and he's one of our best tacklers. He made some nice tackles. So
Dangerfield has now become
your
on both.
How telling is it that Samarco can't even get up above Dangerfield? That's just really something.
Yeah,
very, very telling. I like Sean Davis. I think he's going to be a really good player for them. He's got some speed. He's not scared of the moment. But, you know, he's just a young guy. But here's another guy, like you bring up Dangerfield. Dangerfield's got some strengths. You know, he plays well in the box. He can move in the box. He does okay in open space with a deep third, but Mike Mitchell's a little better than that. So you get this guy on the field and you be aggressive. You let him play aggressive. You can't just sit back. I know I've said it a lot. And just allow these guys to get in rhythm and get anywhere they want on the field. That's not playing good defense. Defense has to create havoc and chaos.
You're right. Go ahead, man. I was just going to make you mentioned about Vince Williams, and I had to bring this up because Vince, if you ever follow him on Twitter, he's a riot. Good guy.
Yeah, he's funny.
And they were talking about, you know, he ran down that that running back in the fourth quarter on a long run. He ran him down, and so people were saying, oh, you didn't realize we're that fast. And Vince said, you know, he tweeted out on Twitter, he said, I've never really been all that slow. It's just that you guys don't realize how fast Peanut Head is. He was talking about Shazier, and he called him Peanut Head.
That's awesome. But, yeah, I mean, Vince is aggressive. Like, you see Vince flying around, screaming, getting guys fired up. That's what he does. So unleash these guys, man. If you got to blitz them, you blitz them and you live with the consequences. You drafted in the secondary. You put Cockrell in the start. You got rid of Blake. Gay is still solid. I mean, you got to trust these guys and cover some people, and you got to go after the quarterback. That's the way they have to play if they're going to be effective.
I'm really getting the feeling that you want these guys to blitz a lot. I think that's been important every single time. I agree with you 100%, man. I think they do it. I think early on in that Sims game and week two, we thought, you know, Butler was just kind of game planning that, you know, four Cousins, you know, this was his strategy. But they sort of did the same thing against the Eagles, and then just got completely blown out. So hopefully that was his wake-up call, do something different, and we'll see what happens moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, guys, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, you know. You got to use it judiciously, right? Like Like, I had no problem
Absolutely.
With the defensive philosophy the first two games, and not just because of the wins. Look, they got the early lead. You're dealing with two quarterbacks that I think can be rattled, and Dalton and Cousins. So they rushed three. They weren't getting sacks, but they dropped eight and said, we'll beat us. And you see those quarterbacks weren't game to do it, you know? And you know,
right.
that's a good – that's not a bad strategy at times. I'm a guy on defense. I don't mind in certain situations just rushing three and going with coverage. You make quarterbacks have to, you know, drop the ball down. You tackle them. They don't get into any rhythm on offense, and you get off the field. I like that, but not all the time.
Not all the time, no. I agree.
If you go with – who do you think their three best pass rushers are?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I'm going with Tua first, Haywood second, and then James Harrison. But who's your fourth guy you're going to have to rush? Moses?
Nah, he's
Jarvis Jones. I don't think
he's
hard
that. We can't really name a fourth solid pass rusher
well,
on this team.
Yeah, well, I think, and he hasn't been in there enough. And it's funny because there's a different type of pass rusher.
You're going to say Hargrave
from the outside that you get from the side, but Hargrave inside. He got pressure on a couple times when he was in there. I did the one. So if you like blitz and you like attacking, give your preview tomorrow, Bryce and everybody. They're gonna. I wrote a film room piece about the Steelers pass rush versus the Chiefs, and Jeff's going to have it on the site tomorrow. So if you want to check that out, you'll see how they get some pressure. But, yeah, Hargrave was in on one of them. So it's hard to say Hargrave, but I'd be tempted to put him in there just from what he did in the preseason in camp. But I think to Matt's point, the fact that we can't clearly think of a fourth is maybe why we're having the discussion in the first place.
I would say – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go first. I'm going to say Dupree, but you go first.
Well, I was going to say if I had to rank them right now, it would be Haywood, it would be Harrison, and then Tuitt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the top three. And then probably Dupree at the number four, or
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, Shazier bringing up the rear when they blitz him. But
mm-hmm.
their top three – if you don't order them, are Tuitt, Haywood, and Harrison. Which, if you would have told me, how about that, guys? 10 years ago, if you'd have told me, yeah, you know what? The two best pass rushers on the Steeler defense would be two defensive ends, I'd have been like, yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
And one's almost older than me, Harrison, but he's unbelievable. The problem is, I would go with Dupree, like I said, as the fourth. But I don't know if he's coming back. I really have questions on that.
Yeah.
He's supposed to half the season would be November 13th for him coming back. Now you get the surgery they did hernia surgery on both sides. He couldn't even walk by himself as of last week. Now he's getting a little bit on the – I don't know if he's coming back. And if we're waiting for him to make a deep, you know, a pass rush defense better. You know, we've got the cornerback Olsen. He's still on the 53. And
right.
I'm going crazy, but right now I'm saying cut that Hawkins kid. Cut him like unable to perform, wave him, injury reserve.
No,
I hope you can get him back on the team some way. Someone will probably pick him up. But if you get lucky, I'd put him on – what. Our offensive line is, and I'd love to have him as the, but we're trying to, we have too many guys on the injury reserve, and we can only bring one back and everything. Is
right,
be
yeah, right. With Hawkins, yeah, he's not, I mean, I think he's going to be an excellent tackle, but even Colbert said, because he came out early, a year early, and even Colbert, after he drafted him, talked about him, said, yeah, well, he basically viewed this as going to be a redshirt year for him. So I don't think, if he didn't get injured, I think they were going to try to carry him on the roster and make him inactive. Of course, right now they couldn't do that because there's so many injured guys. They had to make Zach Mettenberger active last week because there was too many guys that couldn't play.
Yeah.
But I think Hawkins. I know what you're saying. He's going to be good, but I don't. Even if he's healthy, I mean they can't do it now. He was on IR too early. He's not eligible to come back, but.
Well, you cut them. You wave them as injured wave and everything like this, and no one picks them up. I think someone will pick them up. But
oh,
you saying,
yeah, I think you're right. Somebody pick him up. He's
yeah,
got too much potential.
Problem.
Yeah, okay.
They're just going to keep him on the 53. But I don't know if Dupree is going to come back, and I put him as our fourth best pass rusher right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true, and I wouldn't. I mean, yeah, I definitely wouldn't cut Hawkins. He would be. I mean, if he was healthy, he'd be suiting up this week as a backup tackle because, you know, the Steelers got hit with the injury bug on the line. I was really happy to hear Ramon Foster practice today, and I was happy to hear we're getting Rosie Nix back. I think he's going to play because along with those two and Johnson, you're going to need extra blockers to help Hubbard out. Hopefully he can hold his own up there, but it's good to have the other starters back and ready to go.
Agreed completely.
Yeah.
Hey, Bryce, I'm gonna let you go because we're going to keep moving on with the show. But before I do, I definitely want to get your prediction for the weekend. What's your score? Who you got winning, man?
You know, Jets offense has some tools. Fitzpatrick's been struggling, though, but the Jets don't do what hurts the Steelers the most, and that's throw to the tight ends. Zero receptions from tight ends this year. I think that hurts the flow of their offense and keeping drives alive. I think Pittsburgh does enough blocking to get their offense going. They beat the Jets 26-13.
Ooh. I don't
even
know the name of Jets tight end, what's his name, Kellen Davis?
Oh, I don't know. They have no catches from their tight ends this year.
Ooh, they're getting nothing from their tight ends and everything.
Yeah, nothing. And you guys know that's what normally hurts the Steelers.
So
right.
They're not going to go down the middle. If they go down the middle with him, Mitchell, he's going to be waiting. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Decker's not.
Guys.
You know.
All right, guys. You take care. Thanks
for
having me on.
Right. We'll catch you next week, bud.
Take it easy, Bryce.
Two callers to start off the show. Fast start. Vito and Bryce from Brooklyn. Thanks for calling, guys. Vito, if you're still listening, man, I've been waiting to get you on the show for a while. We all know you're a Hall of Fame caller on The Standards and Standard and those other podcasts, so great to hear from you, man. All right, moving on, and really moving on is getting right where we were starting off. We're starting off with this past, you know, week four in the NFL. We talked, you know, Steelers-Chiefs some. We look forward a little bit to Steelers-Jets. Biggest takeaways from week four, non-Steelers-related. Fred, what'd you think, man?
Biggest takeaways, I think that my biggest takeaway is I still – everything, a lot, half the stuff I thought at the beginning of the season is not what I thought, which is pretty much always the case when you got – the two teams that were in the NFC Championship game last year are combined 2-6, being the Panthers and the Cardinals. So just goes to show you, and I say it, and I guess I got to be reminded of it, that you never know what's going to happen in the NFL, and you never know with the injuries. It's a week-to-week league. So that's my takeaway. You never know.
My takeaway was so great that New England lost.
Oh,
was the biggest. I know everyone says that, but can I do a Steeler one?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure.
Here's a Steeler takeaway that I got. Against Philadelphia, they lose 34-3. Okay? Kansas City, they beat them 43-14, I think it was. So there's a difference. There's a swing of 70 points, if my math is okay. And the reason for that, could we Le'Veon Bell?
I don't think we can attribute 70 points to him. I don't think that team got off the bus in Philly. I think after that first drive stall, they just,
yeah,
I don't know, nothing was going right. This defense was a, you know, bend not break defense that doesn't work when you break and your offense gets you nothing. I just think the whole game plan was ruined after Wheaton started dropping a couple passes.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly don't know what it was. Was it, you know, was it more pressure? Was it Kansas City not having any tape of the Steelers this year with Bell and Williams? Was it? And I don't know. Whatever it was, I hope they keep doing it moving forward. That's for sure.
I don't know if my math is good, but That's what I took away with it. Maybe I don't add up, you know, 2 and 2 to come up with something.
We won't judge you if it's not right. We'll just make fun of you a little bit when you're not here.
Yeah, you know I mess up names, and so now I'm doing math. No, I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry. I'm not kidding around anymore. I'm trying to be serious today.
A serious thing, I can't even picture that. But, yeah, how weird was that? That big turnaround, then the Patriots shutting out the Texans week 3, getting shut out by the Bills in week 4. You just, I mean, you never see that kind of flip. A team that, you know, allows 0 points 1 week, dominates, and then scores 0 points and gets completely dominated by, someone say, a lesser team the next week. I mean, is that just Rex Ryan, like, only getting out of bed for Bill Belichick? Or, I don't know. I was so giddy watching that, and then the Ravens losing. It was just a great start to the Sunday that, honestly, I woke up thinking it was a Saturday. But it was a good start to my Sunday, man.
Oh, without a doubt. I think part of what you can attribute to the you know, Bills beating them, and that, you know, the Bills are not a very good team, but I think a lot of that is, you know, the divisional thing. You play the division opponent, you play them twice a year. Rex has, over the course of his career, been known as a defensive mastermind. It hasn't worked out as much lately, but if anybody knows what the Patriots can do, it's him. And you're going against a quarterback in Jacoby Brissett, who, even though people thought he did great the week before, the Texans handed the Patriots that game by fumbling the kickoffs away, and so Brissett didn't really have to do anything. So, I mean, I think that's part of it. But like you, Matt, seeing the Patriots lose and seeing the Ravens lose, that was like I kind of woke up on Sunday, and I had a little bit of a brunch, and then I had a little bit of dinner, and everything was great. And then Sunday night we got the dessert with the Steelers kicking the crap out of the Chiefs. That was about as good as it gets.
I felt good after New England and everything like this, and I can't wait to week 7, our 7th game when we play them and everything. I'm hoping Cincinnati beats them before that. Could be and everything, but that's going to be the matchup that I can't wait for. I wish I could be like I Dream a Genie and blink my eyes and we're into the 7th already and we're both only lost 1 game and everything. That would make me happy. I could miss these next couple games and everything and just get me to New England versus the Steelers. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh yeah, that's the game of the year for sure. Apart maybe from that, you know, Steelers Ravens game on what is it, Christmas, I think. That's definitely a good one. Touch on what you were saying, Fred, with, you know, us not really knowing what's going on in the NFL with, you know, teams you thought were going to be good end up not being that good. Teams you thought were going to stink are suddenly turning it around. Rams, you know, we were joking around on our week 1, week 2 podcast after they got blown out by the 49ers that this is going to be a team that's going to be in contention for the first, you know, overall pick. Now they've won 3 straight, you know, including beating the Seahawks and the Cardinals, and they're sitting there 3-1, same record as the Steelers. And they're still, I mean, they haven't really switched anything major with their offense. Keenum's still the starting quarterback. Goff is on the bench. It's just, NFL is impossible to predict, but man, is it fun to watch. All right, moving on, before we get into this next week, definitely want to touch up on, you know, some of the NFL news coming out, lots of injuries coming out. The biggest possibly maybe coming out of San Diego where they are just, oh, man, they are ravaged with injuries. You got to feel bad for them. Jason Verrett, their promising young corner, tore his ACL. He's now out for the year. He joins his teammates Keenan Allen, Danny Woodhead, Manti Te'o, Steve Johnson on the list of players that are out for the year. Of course, Allen towards ACL, then Woodhead towards ACL. I mean, that's, if this team does, you know, wins another 4 games, that's just going to be impressive. I mean, can you imagine losing Bell and Brown and William Gay and trying to move forward like that? That's just rough. You got to feel bad for that. other news moving forward, and we're going to fly through these, and then if you don't want to touch on anything after, we're going to do it that way. Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert, who has yet to make his 2016 debut. He's been injured. He reportedly suffered a setback with his back. Marvin Lewis said that he's not counting Eifert out for this week. We'll see what happens. I think that's being a bit optimistic. I'd be surprised if he plays since he hasn't practiced. You still on there? I think something happened with my son. What was the last thing you heard, Brad?
What were you going through? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you there for a second. We talked about the injuries to the Chargers, and I think it was right shortly after that.
Man, okay. Making a bunch of weird noises. Technology can be a problem. But moving forward, we're going to fly through these again, as I was just talking to myself through all this, apparently. Sorry about that, guys. But Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert, he suffered a setback with his back. Marvin Lewis said that he could come back this week. I'm not really expecting it since he hasn't practiced so far, so I'm going to keep an eye on moving forward. Cam Newton still in concussion protocol after suffering a concussion against the Falcons. He could be out coming up this week. Definitely something to watch. Carson Palmer also suffered a concussion. He's out, as if you're watching Thursday Night Football right now. Drew Stanton is starting in his place against the 49ers. Dez Bryant still not practicing fully. He is, after suffering a hairline knee fracture in week three, rooting for him to get out there against the Bengals, big-time weapon, as we're going to be rooting for the Cowboys this week, which is hard to do. Cowboys guard Lyle Collins placed on IR following a toe surgery. That's a big-time part of their O-line. We also got Broncos quarterback Trevor Siemian. He hurt his shoulder last week in the victory over the Bucks. He sat out Wednesday's practice. He's through today. So there's a chance he could be out there. If not, then rookie Paxton Lynch will get his first start. And he looked pretty good last game against the Bucks. I think he had a touchdown. He played pretty well in the fourth. So we'll see what happens. Kubiak said that Simeon's their guy if he's healthy, though. A couple more tidbits. Jets cornerback Darrell Revis and Eric Decker both have not practiced yet. Decker's week to week, so there's not really a chance he's playing. Revis could get out there, but you know, if he does some practice tomorrow, it's pretty safe to rule him out. Three more things. Bears play second year receiver Kevin White on IR after he fractures his fibula and has a high ankle sprain. Team is saying that he could potentially return, but surgery is an option. So we'll see what happens with that. Talented second year player out his whole rookie year. Played four games this year, now he's potentially lost for the season. It's tough out there in Chicago, guys. Last two things, Ravens released their veteran running back, Justin Forsett. The backfield's going to be led now by Terrence West and rookie Kenneth Dixon. West had, I think, 117 yards or so last week. He looked pretty good. And last but not least, Cardinals lose CJ 2K and defensive back Tyvon Branch for the year, both on IR after suffering hernias, and both will have surgery. Whew, all right, got through that. Any thoughts on any of those injuries? There were lots of them, major expenses, before we start looking forward to this week's games.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, so I won't touch on them that much. Just I want to say, like you said, Carson Palmer being out. That's big, and he has not been playing well this year anyways, but Drew Stanton's the backup, and we talked about this before, and he might be all right. I just don't think he's that good. I mean, he looked bad in relief last week. He threw two interceptions. Up until, you know, the game's on now, up until there's only 2 minutes left in the first half, the Cardinals had scored, but they got an interception on the 20-yard line that they scored. But so that's big for them. I know Cardinal coach Bruce Arians said, "Well, yeah, he's not here, but we expect him back next week." I just don't know how Arians can say that, because you never know with a concussion. I remember Joe Hayden for Browns last year; he missed it like 5 or 6 weeks. So I just thought it was a little premature, and you just don't know. And you can get by for a game or two, but if it's long term, the Cardinals, who as you said are kind of way under underperforming, it could be a big blow to them. What do you think, Sable?
Sable? We might have lost Sable. Still got you though, right, Fred?
What's that?
I think we lost Sable. Man, we're all having problems tonight.
I think we did. So,
it's a two-man show now. I got someone else calling. Actually, this might be Sable calling back. Sable, it's you?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Man, this is the night of technical difficulties.
It's like that. What was that show called, Freddie? The Night of the Living Steelers.
Yeah. Night of the Living Steelers last night on NFL with the zombies. We got our own version of that here today.
Yeah, we got zombies and everything going on. I said about San Diego, I was just like you did. That's a lot of players to lose, and Revis's injury, I think, is big and everything. Because I don't think they can match up now with our wide receivers. With Marcus Williams might have to start now, and who is that kid from Cleveland, that Bruce Buster Scrime or something like that.
Yeah.
And everything. That's who's going to be picking up Coates and Brown. So there's a lot of injuries. We're only in the fourth week now, and there's a lot of injuries going on. Back to you, Hurricane.
Oh, yeah. I like it. I think that should stick. I like the way that sounds. And all right, so as we start going into week five, preview on that, just want to give out this phone number. If you all want to call in, talk Steelers, talk anything NFL, our technical difficulties, hopefully not. It's 347-850-8581. That's 347-850-8581. All right, guys, and a quick update on this Cardinals 49ers game. Looks like Stan just threw a touchdown to Larry Fitzgerald, which is great because he's on my fantasy team, and I just took a major risk and started him. So kudos to me for that. But moving on, we talked a little bit about the Steelers versus the Jets. Of course, talked our worries with Hubbard making his start at tackle. But honestly, I forgot to mention this with Bryce, but I don't know if that thing with Ryan Harris is as serious as they're making out to be, because would they really go into this game not having made a roster move, bringing in some other tackle just in case? You're not going to put Pouncey out there as your main backup for, as your swing tackle in case something happens. So I don't know if they're just being super careful, but the fact that they haven't brought in anybody makes me think that there's a good chance that, Ryan Harris is going to be out there.
That's a thought, and that certainly sounds logical. My only thing will be Harris hasn't practiced either of the 2 days yet. And I know Tomlin with, especially the younger guys, if you don't practice, you don't play. Ryan Harris is not a younger guy, but it's his first year with them. So what you say makes sense, that, and they still have till Saturday to say bring up their practice squad. Isn't it like Matt Field or whatever is their tackle on the practice squad?
Yep.
So we'll see. They can do that by up till Saturday. So we'll see. Did you see what they, I guess, you know, you're right. They did have Pouncey taking some snaps at right tackle, I guess, you know, just in an emergency situation. And I love that. I don't know who tweeted out. They asked, maybe it was one of the guys that covers the series. It might have been Jeremy Fowler. Might have been. They asked Ramon Foster how Pouncey looked, you know, getting snaps at right tackle. Pouncey said he looks like a center. They asked Foster. He said he looks like a center. That's what he said.
Did you guys hear that story that Ben said on the radio about Pouncey from last week's game against the Chiefs? When Bell made that big run and Pouncey was down there blocking for him and everything, Ben was saying how Pouncey was celebrating more. Yeah, Ben was saying how Pouncey was celebrating more than Bell and everything, and then Pouncey comes up to him. He's saying, "You know, Ben, can you take a timeout, please, man. I'm completely winded. I need it." So Ben, you know, was laughing on the radio about that because he said, "I got you, man." He took a timeout right there so Pouncey could get his breath back and everything.
Hurricane, you know more about this stuff than I do. They said Ryan Harris has a hematoma. I have no idea what
hematoma,
that is.
Yeah. That's just a big – that's just a big bruise. It's without – I'm saying that I haven't obviously seen it or anything, so I've seen it. I can't really tell you. It could be something that kept him up this week, but – without anything more than just that it's a hematoma, I honestly can't tell you any more than that. But a hematoma essentially is just, you know, a big bruise. And when you get, you know, more blood, you know, pulling up under there, it can cause a lot of discomfort and a lot of, soreness. So we'll see. But this isn't any sort of long-term injury or anything like that. Nothing to really be worried about. If he's not out there this week, I would be shocked if he's not out there next week.
Right.
Would it be like – I know it's to his shin. Would it be like could a blood clot happen because of this, or it's just a real bad bruise?
If I have a bruise,
when I play ball, I think I'm going to play. But they would call that my injury is a bruise. They wouldn't say I had a hematoma.
Right.
It's going to cause
some blood to the clot because that's really what it is. It's a bad bruise, but it has swelling. There's blood that's clotting within the tissues. But that's not something that's going to last long term. So that, as you know, the week goes on, that swelling will go down, and he's going to be just fine. I wish I knew more. I wish I'd seen it. So I could give you a little more, but not knowing the extent of it or how bad it is, I can't really tell you much more than that.
Can you hack in and get the x-rays or anything? Or
if I could hack in and do that, I'd be looking at a lot more than just x-rays, man. I'd be listening right into their conference room. But if anyone out there is a doctor, because I'm just pre-med, and wants to call in and give us all their expert opinions on hematomas, go for it. We would absolutely love that. Or at least
yeah,
I would, because that stuff is...
My thoughts, I'm sure, Matt, you may not know, but Sabo probably remembers great defensive tackle for the Baltimore Colts, Art Donovan, Fatty. I'm sure I can imagine what his thoughts would have been on hematoma, because I remember they were talking to Art Donovan about all the knee injuries, and you got your ACL and your cruciate ligament. And Artie was a big guy, big gregarious guy. And when he was talking about that, he said, "Back in my day, we didn't have cruciates. They just said you hurt your knee. You blew out your knee. There's no cruciates." He said, so I wonder what he would think about what a hematoma is. he probably would think that your leg's gonna fall off or something like that. But no, Matt's right. It's essentially a bruise. It's a collection of blood, and that's what happens when you get a bruise. The blood vessels break. It leaks into the tissues, and they're small, and then it starts changing colors as it's now with Harris. You know, we don't know, but if it's more major, it'll kind of collect maybe more. And occasionally, when they're really bad, you might have to have it like drained or something. But I'm with Matt. I mean, it's just basically a bad bruise, and it could. But I would think it's short term. And if he's not playing this week, I agree. I would be surprised if he doesn't play next week.
If my doctor Rosetti's listening, she can call 347-850-8581. And Dr. Rosetti's a female, and she is very hot. So if she's listening, you can call us. Lana's in San Francisco, and she knows a lot about this and everything. Maybe she can give us a call, too, right now and everything. So two good-looking women, if they can call us about bruises on the shin. I don't think Dr. Rosetti.
Sabo, you better hope your wife's not listening to this podcast, man.
Yeah, Lana might be. I don't think Dr. Rosetti is, but if she is, she could tell us.
So last week we had the Black and Gold Patriots podcast, basically. This week is our Black and Gold Hematoma podcast. who really knows what we're going to have next week? But getting back on track, guys, anything else you wanted to cover with the Steelers-Jets game, or you don't think we have it pretty covered? I definitely want to get y'all's picks, and then we will move on. Talk to you, Fred.
I think we covered most of it. Like I said, it's just if we can run the ball some, you know, we're worried about the pass rush, which we should be, but they're also one of the better teams against the run with that front line. So that's one of the things against the Eagles. We couldn't run the ball, and then we fell behind by so much we had to pass, and they teed off on us. So I don't think the Jets will score like the Eagles did, or not don't. But still, if we can't run the ball and are forced to pass, we got to be able to get some running on them at least. But I think our defense is still going to play well. I don't know that Fitzpatrick is going to be as bad as he has been. But if Decker isn't playing, it doesn't sound like he is. That's a big help, because then maybe we could do something like we did on Kelsey and take Gilbert if he's playing. He hurt his knee in practice. And just focus on. I take Brandon Marshall out of the game. He's their number one threat, you know, other than Forte in the backfield. So I think we'll hold them down. They shouldn't score much, especially in Heinz Field. So I got the score like 26 to 16. That's what I got. What about you, Sable?
Yeah, I think they'll score more points than the Jets, and I think they'll win and everything. Hurricane, can I talk one more thing about, did you hear the story today about Darrell Revis, or was it yesterday when he was a free agent almost signing with the Steelers? He said it was.
Yeah, I've read that.
Get out of here. You know, 5 years,
yeah.
$70 million, and he was actually, the Steelers were his second pick. So they were going to give him how much? Here I go again, trying to get $14 million. They were going to pay him $13 million for him to come. He has a group of people. I think it's called Team Revis or something. Sean Gilbert's like his agent. He has all these people living when they do everything. And all he cares about is the money now. I'm sorry. If it wasn't after he got the Super Bowl, then he would have came back to, you know, play for the Steelers and everything. And all it was, he was comfortable going with the Jets. He liked New York and everything. He wasn't going for the Steelers. And if he tells you he is, I don't know who he was talking to.
Yeah.
No, he's crazier than I am.
He might have bet, like you said, $14 million. He might have got $14 million over a four-year contract with the Steelers.
a typical 5-year, you know, like $15 million Colbert contract. Can you imagine if Colbert had shelled out $14 million a year, and then Revis was playing like he is now on the Steelers? The fire Colbert chants would be loud.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. So Sabo, let me get your pick, and then we'll move on then.
Steelers. Let's see. Let's go with 30 for the Steelers because Ben's saying he's getting 30 points. Fitzgerald will give them 3 points. Then they'll go with, Fitzpatrick will give them 3 points. Then Geno Smith will come in and get another 3 points or 7, so 10. 30-10.
30-10.
I did that right off the top of my head.
We'll take that. That was good math, man. You're just showing off now. I got to take the Steelers, but, man, if they hadn't lost to the Eagles, I would be taking the Jets as a major, a major trap game, because these Jets, I mean, ask any Jets fan, this is a must-win game for these Jets. This is that, caged animal type of game where this team just is desperate for a win. They've got some monsters on defense. We've got a banged up O-line. I think they're going to be coming after it. But I think since the Steelers had that wake up game already, I don't think they're going to come out, sleep or anything. I think they're going to be ready for this game. I'm taking Steelers 35-12. I was going to say 16, but let's say 12 because these things matter a great deal for some reason. So. Moving on, staying in the AFC North, Baltimore versus Washington. Who you got and why, Freddie?
Oh, man, I'd love to see the Ravens lose again. They're 3-1. Don't ask me how. They actually could have beat the Raiders, and this game is in Baltimore. They're tough to beat there. As much as I'd like to see them lose, I think after losing last week at home, I don't see them losing 2 in a row. Washington is still iffy. Kirk Cousins and Baltimore's defense at least is playing well. Their offense is garbage. Flacco's no good. He missed wide open guys last week. I got to go with Baltimore just because they're home and Washington hasn't proven to me that they could really beat anybody decent. They beat the Browns last week, so that's their one NFC North or AFC North win for the year as they play us all four teams. So I got the Ravens. What about you, Sabo?
I'll take the Ravens to don't lose 2 games in a row, and they don't lose 2 games in a row at home too often. They got one of the best defenses in the league. I don't know how they do it and everything. Doomerville's back. It's going to be a close game. As it seems like Baltimore always. I'm going to go Baltimore. You're up, Hurricane.
I'm with you. I'm taking Baltimore also. We'll make it a sweep. But, man, I tell you, watching them lose against the Raiders, I forgot how good it felt to see them lose. That was because it had been a while. It had been, like 10 months, something like that. So, man, that was fun to see. So, I hope I'm wrong. I hope it happens again. I hope that's how I start my Sunday. Moving on, Cincinnati versus Dallas. We talked that the Bengals could be without Eifert, could be without Bryant. This is Dak Prescott versus Andy Dalton. Who you got, Freddie?
Dallas is really hamstrung a little bit without Dez. They managed to beat the Niners, but the Niners are not that good. Dallas' offensive line has proved it last week. They're great. Ezekiel Elliott is what we thought he was, worthy of the number 4 pick. And Dak has been playing well. I don't think Eifert's going to play. They haven't ruled him out. He's not playing. They're off. Cincy hasn't. They've looked disappointing, if you ask me. They beat the Dolphins last Thursday night. The Dolphins are awful. But I'm going to pick Cincy because they do have a very good defense. And based on picking them because I want them to lose, so therefore they're going to win. That's the main reason. What about you, Sabo?
You always pick with your heart. So I'm going to do it this week. I'm going to pick Dallas to beat Cincinnati just because I want them to. And I'm going to make the bold statement that Romo is not going to get his job back. When he comes back on, what is week 8, week 9 or something, when they play us and everything, Prescott's still going to be the starter. So I'm going to go with Dallas to win. It's up to you, Hurricane.
Man, I like that nickname. Have I mentioned that I like that nickname? man, another one where you have to root against AFC North, of course, but you just don't see it happening. Ezekiel Elliott is, you know, who we thought he was, but losing Collins, your guard, having Prescott behind there, no Dez Bryant, I think this is the Bengals. They kept it close. They had a pretty surprising run game against, you know, good Broncos defense. Then they came out angry against the Dolphins. I see them as, you know, with perfect back and everything, I don't think this one's even going to be close. I think they win by multiple scores. I'm taking Cincy. And last AFC North game, Patriots versus Cleveland. Brady is back. He gets to take out his anger on the poor Cleveland Browns. This is going to be painful to watch, even as you're rooting against the Browns. Or maybe, I don't know, it's hard to say. I'm probably going to be rooting against the Patriots because the Browns aren't a threat. I despise the Patriots. But, man, this is just a dream scenario if you're Tom Brady to come back in. What are your thoughts, Fred?
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because I hate to say, but earlier in the year, I went over to the SB Nation site for the Patriots, which is Pat's Pulpit. That's such a stupid name, like you're pounding the pulpit. But anyways, and that was when Brady finally decided, hey, I'm not going to appeal anymore. It's done. So they were all up in arms over there. And one of the writers on the site wrote a thing, basically saying how the NFL was wrong. They did everything wrong. But, okay, here it is. We got to live with it. And he finished with saying, you know, obviously, you know, they know Brady's going to be back his first game against Cleveland. And he said, you know, he finished his article by saying, you know, I feel sorry for Cleveland. Like Brady's going to come back with a vengeance. Like Cleveland is going to be in trouble because Brady is coming back with a vengeance. They're going to be in trouble no matter who they play. Feel sorry for Cleveland. Who cares? Yeah, they're going to kick the crap out of them. I think the only upset we would get in this game, the only chance of upset, I think you have a bigger chance of Bill Belichick deciding he wants to go back and coach the Browns again than you do of the Browns actually beating the Patriots here. No, I don't think it might be modest. Well, I mean, I think most people figure the Patriots are going to win like 50 to nothing. I don't think it's going to be quite like that. But, once you get to halftime, I don't think the game is going to be a contest. But what do you think, Sabo?
I'm going to have to go with New England. But here's the shocker. Cleveland's going to score first. Rel Pryor is going to catch about an 80-yard touchdown. And I'm going to say, why didn't the Steelers take a shot at Terrell Pryor? But here's what I'm going to say. The first series, Brady's going to get in. He's going to run the ball one play. And then on third down, he's going to get hurt and come out of the game.
You've got like a quarterback controversy in every game so far, man. You got Smith taking over for Fitzpatrick. You've got Brady going out. You've got
getting hurt.
Who else did you? Oh, getting hurt, right. Jeez. Man, you know, I'm not going to say I'm rooting for it out loud. I won't say that. But, man, Brady coming back. I'm with, you know, the popular mass. I think this is going to be a blowout. I wouldn't be shocked if it's 50-0. I think this is just going to be painful to watch. And another thing, I think we skipped over this in the news. Maybe I cut out when I was having phone issues. But Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon also has gone back into rehab. He was supposed to be able to come back soon. He's entered himself back into rehab, and Hugh Jackson has, you know, all but said that, you know, they're cutting ties with him. So that's something to, you know, watch. Is his NFL career done? Is he going to, you know, go to another team? Is anyone going to take a chance on him? But for this game alone, oof, I'm picking the Patriots to win it in a landslide. All right, guys, moving right along. Atlanta versus Denver. Two teams surprising in their own way. Denver is right up there with, you know, the top offenses, surprisingly. I mean, Simeon's really doing well. He may play in this game, may not. Paxton Lynch could get his first start. On the flip side, you've got Matt Ryan, who was a, you know, player of the month this past month. He followed that up with a 300-yard. Julio Jones had 300 yards and a touchdown. Ryan had something like 500 yards, something like that. Matt Ryan is just on fire. This Falcons team looks good. Will the Broncos' stout defense slow him down? What do you think, Fred?
Yeah, I just went back and looked at who the Falcons have played this year. Even though they lost one, they only scored 24 points at home against the Buccaneers. And remember, that's a division game. And then they played the Raiders, who don't have a defense. They played the Saints, who don't have a defense. And they played the Panthers, who forgot how to play defense. So they're going with their Broncos in Denver. I think Denver slows them down. And part of that is because the Falcons last year, they've never done it. The 1 year they were like 13-3 and they looked great, and then they lost the playoffs and they kind of slid down. And last year they were 5-0 and they folded. Until I see it with the Falcons, for real, not, you know, I mean, four games in, they were 5-0 last year. I won't believe it. But this is the test in Denver against that defense. That's a test. And I don't think they're going to – there's no way Denver lets him throw for, you know, 400, 500 yards, four touchdowns. And Denver, what? I am surprised by how good their offense is. Their offensive line I thought was not going to be good. Surprised at how well Sammy has done. Paxton Lynch came in last week, like you said, and did all right. One reason to their Kubiak, he called more shotgun plays because Paxton Lynch is not used to being under center in college. Kubiak adjusted. That was smart of him. I'll tell you one thing. Kubiak, I don't like the Broncos. Kubiak is an excellent coach. He was excellent in the Texans and had them competitive when they didn't have a whole lot. They had Matt Schaub, and he was winning with Matt Schaub. His 1 year as a coordinator with the Ravens, Forsett had his best year as a running back ever. He is a great coach. He is an excellent coach. That's why they're winning. That's why they're doing so well, besides that great defense. I got the Broncos winning. Who knows? Maybe they'll score a little bit more, and maybe the Falcons will get up. But I don't see the Falcons in Denver putting up more. Maybe they'll hit 20-some. But I see they haven't proven it yet. I don't think they're going to do it this weekend. What do you think, Sable?
My dad taught me everything I know about football. He taught me if you play defense, defense beats offense. So by that, you got the best defensive team, Denver. Right now, look like the best offensive team, Atlanta. So I'm going with Denver. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to go into overtime. It's 35-35. They go into overtime. You want me to say their quarterback gets hurt? No, I can't say. Denver kicks a field goal. Denver wins 38-35 because defense wins.
You're getting extremely specific with these things, not giving yourself a lot of room. If you're a Steelers fan, of course, you're going to be rooting for the Falcons in this thing. If you're, you know, looking forward to playoff seeding. Broncos being undefeated, right now holding that number one seed, playoff picture super early, but, you know, something to watch. So you're going to be rooting for the Falcons. I'm going to be rooting for the Falcons. If it wasn't for C.J. Anderson, I would pick the Falcons. But I just think Kubiak is going to run on them a lot. especially with Simeon possibly having a banged up shoulder and maybe Paxton Lynch in there. I don't think that the Falcons have enough big guys up front to stop that. So I'm taking the Broncos something like 24-17, something like that. We're going to get through a couple more games before we end this show, run a little bit longer because we had a few callers. Not a bad thing, always a good thing. Moving right along, we've got Texans versus the Vikings. Now, I told you all weeks ago the Vikings were my team, were my picks in the NFC in the Super Bowl, and I'm wondering if y'all are finally going to join me on this one. You know, pick against them week after week. You got to be with me now, right? They're 4-0. They've taken out the Packers. They took out the Giants. That defense is just something else. Man, that defense is fun to watch. And that is just the defense that you dream of as, you know, an NFL fan to have on your team. So, obviously, if you guys can't tell, I'm taking the Vikings. This is the Texans team. They got shut out by the Patriots. I think this Vikings defense is on a whole another level. I'm taking the Vikings. What about you, Fred?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, the last time we were on, and you thought the Vikings were going to play at the Panthers. And although I believe in the Viking defense, I thought, I don't know how they're going to score against the Panthers. And I saw early on it was 10-0 Carolina. I said, yeah, the Vikings got a safety. They scored on a punt return. And then they beat the crap out of Cam Newton, 8 sacks and 3 interceptions. Their defense is right up there with the best of them. You say the Denver's the best, they're the best. Hard to say. They take on the personality of their head coach. And Mike Zimmer was a defensive coordinator with the Bengals for years. That dude is hard-nosed, and he's tough, and that's exactly what their defense – oh, here it is. They're giving up 12.5 points a game, 12.5. They've got 50 points in 4 games. And I didn't think they'd be able to score, and they don't have a lot of weapons. Their offensive line is not good, but their offensive coordinator, Norv Turner, is an excellent offensive coordinator. He got that one receiver, kick returner, working ways to get him in. The running back that took over part of the time for Peterson, that McKinnon, he's shifty. He does stuff to find ways to get him in. So they have enough good coaching on offense, and Bradford's done all right. I don't know if they can do it all season, and we'll see. But this week against the Texans, yeah, if the Patriots can turn off the Texans offense, Osweiler's awesome. They have a great receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, and they have Will Fuller, who's fast, and he returned the punt. If the Texans maybe get a couple big plays, they score 10 points, but I don't see them doing anything against Minnesota. Their offense is awful. They don't know how to use a running back. Yeah, I'm with you. I got the Vikings winning. I don't know what score, but they'll win. The Texans, unless they score with their defense or something like that, a punt return, they're in danger of being shut out again. What do you think, Sable?
Do you know my high school I went to was Central Catholic? Do you know their nickname?
I'm going to guess the Vikings. Not really.
Yep.
The Central Catholic Vikings. That doesn't really ring.
That's why I'm going with the Vikings. No, I'm going with the Vikings. They remind me of a team. They're playing very similar to a team from last year. This team won the Super Bowl. They reminded me of how Denver played last year.
Oh, yeah.
Built their team around defense, special teams. I'm going with the Central Catholic Minnesota Vikings to win. Hurricane.
Man, they do. They do remind me of Denver. Honestly, they remind me of that 08 Steelers team also. Where, you know, you just had a world-class defense and a middle school offense, you know, just not doing a whole bunch. But it doesn't matter because if you put up 13 points, you're going to win. And, man, I'm all in on this Vikings team. I'm not going to root for them if they play the Steelers or anything like that. Pardon those defensive football playing. It's just it's good to watch because that's not really what the NFL has become. You know, the NFL wants to see these big, you know, 40 burgers, 50 burgers, high flying offenses, and it's just cool to see, you know, throwback high powered defense. So Vikings all day for me. I think we got time for maybe one more.
Let's do the
make
Rams.
This one a good one. You want to do the Rams? All right, we'll do Buffalo versus Los Angeles Rams. Buffalo coming off a couple big back-to-back wins, Cardinals and the Patriots. I don't think anyone predicted that coming. And the Rams, after starting off 0-1, have won three games in a row. So, Fred, who you got with this one?
my pick will change on this one five different times. The Rams, I'll tell you why the Rams are look the way they look is they played over the last few years against the Seahawks and the Cardinals. They're 5-1. They know how to play the teams in their division. They don't do well against most other teams. Casey Kasem, coast to coast.
Casey's coast to coast. That's what the Buffalo is doing here. But Buffalo, I don't buy them either. I mean, they've looked better the last couple of weeks. Going out to West Coast, maybe Rex will stay out there in Hollywood. I'm going with Buffalo just because the lesser of two. I just don't think Jeff Fisher's a good coach, and I don't think he has their offense. They have a plan or know what they're doing. So I'll go with Rex. Rex is climbing out of the cellar there.
What do you think, Sabo?
I'm going to go with the Rams, and the reason is Hollywood Aaron Donald. He's going to be the difference because Rex Ryan disrespected him when he made the All-Pro team, and Rex Ryan came out and said Sheldon Richardson is a better player and Aaron Donald couldn't carry his jock strap. So I'm going to say Aaron Donald have one of the best games since maybe James Harrison had on that Monday night game and everything like that. So I'm going with the Rams. Donaldson being a one-man wrecking crew, so I'm going with the Rams.
Wow.
I like it. I'm with you, Sabo. I'm taking the Rams also. I want to say I'm surprised Rex would say that, but at the same time, it's Rex. So you kind of have to expect this a little bit. What were you going to say though, Fred?
Oh, I was just saying, for people that don't know Aaron Donald, because he plays on the Rams and, you know, they don't get a lot of coverage and he's an interior defender. That guy right now, easily, he's playing the best. He was up there approaching J.J. Watt as far as being a best defensive player, and he's playing like it this year. So, yeah, I thought you were going to say Rex offended him by getting an Aaron Donald tattoo or something, but no, Donald's the best. So I can see what you're picking him again. I don't know. I'll just go with the Bills because, like I said, I don't trust Jeff Fisher, but I could see picking it the other way too. So, all right, Hurricane.
All right, guys. I lied. We're going to do one more. We're raising it in on time, but, man, I love talking football. So we're going to squeeze it in. Fred, Sabre, pick the last one. I'll let you choose. We got Giants and Packers, and we got Philly and Detroit. You got to pick one, man. No pressure.
Oh, I'd say go with the Philly game so I can make it up to Christina. She was mad at me this morning for the things I said about her Eagles, so maybe I can make it up with this one now.
Philly, and that's what we do here. We save relationships. So why don't you take it away?
Okay, well, I was kind of debating. I was asking, thinking out loud more or less, and I said, I could see Philly. This is one of the games they were 3-0. They didn't. I think the game against the Steelers, it's one of those games. They were home. People didn't expect them to win. They thought the Steelers would win, and they wanted to go out and prove something. So, and everything went their way, and that's why they won. They had a bye week, which you don't really want when you're on a roll like that. And now they're going into Detroit, and Detroit's no good, but it's a game they're expected to win. And sometimes young teams,
tend to lose those games. And she said she's not talking to me for saying stuff like that. But I do think, you know, thinking everything through, Schwartz is a great defensive coordinator. He's got that defense playing fantastic. That's one thing you overlook when you talk about, you know, Pennsylvania down there. But Detroit has nothing. Detroit's running backs, if you take out Matt Stafford's scrambles, Detroit's running backs have carried like 36 times for 87 yards. They're pathetic. So I got to go with the Fly Eagles fly, flying over Pontiac there in Detroit. So I got the Eagles. What about you, Sable?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles too, because Carson Wentz is the anti-Tom Brady. On his bye week, he went back home to North Dakota, hung out with his buddies. He's got a 4.0 GPA and everything like that. He's got to have a good-looking girlfriend. I don't even know if that's for true. He's the real deal. Here's what Philadelphia, the average field position they're coming up with. They're starting at the 35, and they're letting their opponents start at the 23. So that's a 12-yard. I can do that math. So that's what I'm going to come up with this week. Field position matters. He's an All-American. Like I said, he's doing everything right now. Philly's playing good in all three areas, defense, offense, special. Carson Wentz is so good. He's probably going to be the next James Bond. I would want him. If I didn't have anyone to watch my dog, I'd probably let Carson do it. I'd let him go out, take my wife to a movie and everything if I had something to do and everything. He's just such a great quarterback. He might be the best one going, but I'm still going to go with Philadelphia. You know, he beat the Steelers. He's on my side. I think that's going to be the Super Bowl. It's going to be the Steelers versus Philly again. Okay,
I feel like I feel like we just learned a whole bunch about you, Sabo, there. Sabo, breaking news, really big fan of Carson Wentz. Major breaking news we got here. I'm going to make it a sweep. I'm going to take the Eagles, too. And with that, we're going to close out this this week of Black and Gold NFL Recap. We will be back next week. I'm thinking on Friday of next week. So that's really it for tonight. We can go catch up on that Cardinals 49ers game that's going on right now. It's Fitz now has two touchdowns and really helping out my fantasy team there. Any last thoughts, guys?
No, I'll just say, as you mentioned, the game I saw Fitz, I just saw, yeah, the Cardinals fumbled the kickoff, or the Niners fumbled the kickoff to give the Cardinals a ball or a punt on like the 15-yard line. So they're doing their best to lose this game. That's all I got.
Last thought to you, Zayba.
Can you hear me? Or?
Yep, we got you.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go with we picking the Green Bay Giants game.
No, just doing final thoughts, and then we're sending it out, man.
Okay, I thought the best thing I heard was Casey Kasem today and everything, being the quarterback for Casey's dead now, but he had a good-looking wife, so that was the funniest. And I want a nickname for Freddie, because you're going to go by Hurricane, and Freddie's got to come up with a nickname by the next time we do the show. Or we're going to give him a nickname.
I'm just going to throw Freddy Krueger out there.
Krug.
No.
We're going to call him Krug.
No, nicknames just like Hurricane, that just kind of flowed.
Yeah.
You can't force them. They just
okay.
Just got to happen. They just got to happen.
Yeah, before I die, I'm giving you a nickname.
Okay.
I'm going to come up with a nickname.
All right, guys, that's going to do it.
Springsteen
Jr.
I'm calling you Springsteen. No, Clemens Jr. Take your pick.
I'll thank God. I'll sleep on it.
Okay.
We're gonna let Freddie sleep on that one. We will get his long-awaited answer on next week's podcast. So definitely something to tune in for. You know, forget all the NFL news. We'll just see what Fred's new nickname is. So that'll do it for Black and Gold NFL Recap Week 5. We will catch you all next week. Signing off for Matt, Fred, and Sabo. Later, Yens.
born in the USA.